This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed. Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Fiqh of Zakah. Now, in previous episodes of this important topic, we spoke about the definition of Zakah and the ruling of Zakah. And with me, I have Sheikh Muhammad Salah, who's going to go through and expand and help us understand this topic. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you, Jameel.
Jazakallah, Sheikh. Previously, Sheikh, you expounded upon the definition of Zakah, what it is itself, and then you went into the ruling of Zakah. And you said something in this part which I want to start off this episode with. And you spoke about sadaqah and zakah, what the difference was. One was voluntary, and the other, you said, was mandatory, it's wajib, it's fard upon us. When you spoke about the voluntary, you said something very important. You said, you encouraged us as Muslims, people of faith as well, that we should try to give as much as possible all the time. Now, what are the virtues of this giving, if we're supposed to be giving all the time, Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah alone, and may the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Thank you for the nice introduction and the nice recap. As far as the virtues of sadaqah in general, that covers both the voluntary charity and the mandatory one. And I would like to confirm a very important fact, that the mandatory part, even though it is very limited, its reward is much greater than the voluntary one, no matter how much you give. Why? Because in the hadith, Allah the Almighty says, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبِدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَطُّهُ عَلَيَّ. The best deed that a servant can do in order to draw closer to Allah is fulfilling what Allah mandated on him. Then, obviously, we will continue to draw closer to Allah through the nawafil, the voluntary acts of worship, pertaining the salah, the sunan, praying at night, duha, which pertaining the zakah, the voluntary charity. We find in one hadith that is narrated by Abu Kabsha al-Anmari, may Allah be pleased with him, and is collected by al-Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنْ. The Prophet is swearing for three qualities. He doesn't have to, but it is to confirm the subject of his oath. The first is مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. This is what worries people most, which is that you're afraid that when you give, that's in minus in your account, your bank balance will decrease. Well, let me assure you, the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear one's wealth will never diminish by giving any charity. Rather, it will increase. The second is that whenever somebody has been oppressed and he endures it patiently, Allah the Almighty will raise him in ranks and will give him dignity. And the third is very important, and it is related to wealth. وَلَا فَتَحَ عَبْدٌ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَابَ فَقْرٍ. We said in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah for three qualities. The third was pertaining giving any charity that will increase one's wealth, it will not decrease it. The third is whenever somebody stretches out his hand to beg or to borrow while he is not in need, فَتَحَ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really make him in need and desperate. Allah will open for him a door of poverty. So one has to keep in mind that we should not take money from others unless if we are really in need. but because maybe this person has a lot of money that you ask him to give you and you don't need it, this is a dispraised act. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the door of poverty and need for this person. So whenever you live in a society where the rich is encouraged to give, and the average people are encouraged not to ask unless if they are really in need, you can imagine the peace and harmony that will be developed in the society. Al-Imam Ahmad wa Tirmidhi and others narrated that Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, said that إن الله عز وجل يقبل الصدقات ويأخذها بيمينه. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah accepts the charity, whether it is mandatory or voluntary, any kind. And by the way, it doesn't really matter how big or little it is, because in another hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Protect yourselves against fire, even by as little as a half date." Mm-hmm. This is what you have. So whenever you give in a charity from a lawful earning, this is a very important condition, because Allah does not accept except what's earned lawfully and given with sincerity. It doesn't matter how much it is, then He will accept it in His own right hand. وَيُرَبِّيهَا لِأَحَدِكُمْ and will foster the charity which is given by us. كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّهُ as one of us or as a farmer would foster his pony or a baby horse. You see him growing bigger and bigger in front of your eyes. Similarly, and will keep fostering your charity for you until this little charity becomes as big as a mount. In the hadith he said, مِثْلَ جَبَلِ أُحُدْ For those who visited the Medina, the city of the Prophet ﷺ, Uhud is a chain of mountains, several kilometers, stretched over a very wide distance. So you can give in a charity a very little thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will foster it after He will accept it in His own right hand, and will grow it for you until it becomes like the mountain of Uhud. Also Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda narrated that a man came once to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have plenty of money. And we hear this a lot. I have plenty of money. And big family and mashallah, big wealth. So direct me, what should I do with regards to my wealth? Where shall I spend and how? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تُخْرِجُ الزَّكَاةَ مِنْ مَالِكَ فَإِنَّهَا طُهْرَةٌ تُطَهِّرُكَ Number one, before talking about the voluntary charity, you have to give the zakah and take it out of your money, because that will purify you and will increase your wealth and will bless you in your wealth. And where to spend it or dispense it? تَصِلُ أَقْرِبَاءَكَ وَتَعْرِفُ حَقَّ الْمِسْكِينَ وَالْجَارِ Uphold the ties of your kinship. Give them from this charity, from your wealth. And acknowledge the right of the poor and the neighbors and the beggars, those who are in need, in your wealth. That's why when a man came once to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ أَدَّ الرَّجُلُ زَكَاةَ مَالِهِ What if somebody paid the zakat due on his wealth? What will happen to him? So the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ أَدَّ زَكَاةَ مَالِهِ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ شَرُّهُ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ شَرُّهُ Whoever pays the zakat due on his wealth, then the evil part which was hidden in that wealth will depart him. I really love this next story, which is a sound one, and you can find it in the beautiful book of Riyadu Salihin. The Prophet ﷺ told us about a man from the nations before us. Somebody was walking in desert. Mm-hmm. Then he heard in this plain a sound, and mm-hmm. this sound was coming from where? From a cloud. Mm-hmm. The sound says, اسقي حديقة فلان. Irrigate the garden of so and so. Then the cloud changed its course, redirected itself. He followed the cloud until it dropped its rain water somewhere. Mm-hmm. The water gathered in one area, then it went in a channel. So he followed the water in this channel until it reached to a garden. He entered the garden. He found somebody was sitting in the middle of the garden by his axe or his pad, and he was redirecting the course of water here and there. You know what the farmers do. He greeted him, and he asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is so-and-so." He said, "That is the same name that I heard in the cloud. You gotta tell me about your matter. What do you do?" He said, "Well, since you heard my name, I have to tell you. Well, this garden of mine, once I collect the crops, I divide it into three portions. I give one portion immediately in a charity for the poor. And one portion I keep for myself and family for feeding. Then, and the third portion, I reinvest it in it." He said, "That's why." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders a cloud to go to water and irrigate the garden of somebody in the middle of nowhere simply because he acknowledges not just the poor's right, and he gives extra. So the more you give, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And that's why النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Bilal ibn Rabah, "Ya Bilal, أنفق ولا تخشى من ذي العرش إقلالا." Spend and spend generously. Don't you fear poverty or that what you have will decrease? No, rather, it will definitely increase because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the contrary, people who withhold and they give nothing, they do not pay even the zakat used on their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them in the Quran in verse number 34 of Surah At-Tawbah. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ. This is what people hoard most, gold and silver. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they do not spend it in the cause of Allah, meaning they do not take out the right of the poor and the miskeen. Not the whole thing, but just a very small percentage that Allah ordered us to give in a charity. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The word Bishara Jameen normally is used to deliver a glad tiding yeah. and good news. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari when he sent them to Al-Yaman, said, "Bashira wa la tunaffira." Give good news. Give the good news. So, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. So the word Bishara, when you hear it, you think there is some good news for them, that their wealth will increase. Rather, he said, بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So after they hear the Bishara, there Allah would shock their hearing by saying that, بَشِّرْهُمْ, but with a severe torment.
Okay, I think we're going to stop it here. See, this is a good time for us to reflect on what the Shaykh said. We're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to the rest of this ayah. So there's the warning for us. So stay with us on the Fiqh of Zakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed, purify your wealth.
Each day, we'll take one step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Qur'an, to our way of life. Each day, we will explore the acts of worship that we do, and we will find out how they relate to our hearts, how they impact our souls, how they help us understand the reality of existence. All of this and much more in our show, One Step Closer. All of you are invited to join us. Share your stories, share your aspirations, share your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be happy to have you on board. Join us in One Step Closer.
That we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Fiqh of Zakah. Now, Shaykh, just before the break there, you started looking into the Quranic way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about those people who don't pay Zakah. Now, you gave us good tidings and then a warning. Let's carry on from this.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who hoard up gold and silver, and they spend it not in the cause of Allah, announce to them a severe warning. Announce to them a severe torment. What kind of torment is it? It will be from the same type of what they used to hoard up. It will be a curse for them. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. That the gold and silver will be made into sheets. Then it will be heated in the fire of hell. يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ. Then those sheets of gold and silver, which was their treasure in this life, they did not pay their zakat due on it. Their foreheads and sides and backs will be branded with those sheets of gold and silver which have been heated in fire. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Not only that, to increase their humiliation, it will be said to them, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is what you hoard up. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So taste your treasure. All of that, because they prevented a very small share, the right of the poor in their wealth. They did not acknowledge it, nor did they pay it. So there will be a destruction of their wealth and investment in this life, in addition to the severe torment that is awaiting them on the Day of Judgment. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again brings to the attention of those who are reluctant to pay their zakah dues by saying in verse number 180, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Let not those who withhold miserly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them of wealth, so they do not pay its zakah. Let them not think this is good for them. Rather, it is evil for them. On the Day of Judgment, such wealth, which the zakah was not paid on it, will surround them around their necks. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Will suffocate them on the Day of Judgment. In the sound hadith, Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه أرضاه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَا مِن صَاحِبِ كَنْزٍ لَا يُؤَدِّي زَكَاتَهُ إِلَّا أُحْمِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَيُجْعَلُ صَفَائِحُ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جَنْبَاهُ وَجَبْهَتُهُ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً ثُمَّ يَرَى سَبِيلَهُ إِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ. Why did I mention this hadith even though I quoted a similar ayah, verse number 34 of Surah At-Tawbah, which provides the same meaning that wealth, gold and silver will be made into sheets and will brand, after it will be heated in fire, brand the foreheads, sides and backs. This hadith, by the end, mentioned another phrase that benefits another meaning, which is that one who withheld his money out of miserness, not out of denial of the mandate of the zakat, because we differentiated between one who denies the mandate of the zakat, that's a kafir, even if he prays. But this hadith pertains the person who does not pay while he acknowledges that the zakat is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him on the day which everybody is waiting for the reckoning, for the establishment of the hisab, 50,000 years, the length of that day. Then afterward, يَرَى سَبِيلَهُ إِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ. That indicates he's still Muslim. But he's at risk. He may go to hell, may go to heaven, but by the end still he will be punished in his grave, and he will be punished in the day which its length measures 50,000 years of our time.
Okay, Sheikh, the point you made in here, which maybe we can go into the next parts of this amazing topic, I mean you're expounding it, really opening up the doors to this topic, is that you spoke about silver and gold. Now, is it only silver and gold? I mean, what types of wealth is zakat, or the word that we're looking at, zakatable, what type of wealth is zakat to be paid upon?
When we say gold and silver, because that represents most of the wealth. Mm. And this is what people desire most. If you've been living in the States the past few years before the financial crisis, everybody in the media is talking about gold, gold, and save up gold, and turn your cash into gold, and so on. And in the past, the currency was basically either gold or silver. Mm-hmm. If anybody would present a paper or any currency other than gold and silver, it will be worthless. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the zakah is not only due on gold or silver, but this is the main category where the zakah is due on. Whenever, of course, obviously, it reaches the nisab, the minimum threshold of position, for an entire year. We'll cover all of that in details, the hawl and the nisab and all of that. But the zakah is due in five categories of wealth. Number one, livestock. Not every livestock, particularly camels, cows, and sheep. Whenever they reach a certain number, that will be discussed on time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any person who owns camels, cows, and sheep, and does not pay their zakah, on the day of judgment, such livestock or cattle will come as fat as possible, as big as possible, in order to beat them, to beat that person with their horns, and to step on him with their hooves. And that will be repeated over and over and over. Why? Because he used not to pay the zakah due on them. So the zakah on livestock is in camels, cows, and sheep. Then the second category is gold and silver, as we said, and the ayah is very clear, verse number 34 of Surah At-Tawbah, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ. Then the third category is the trade of goods. Mm-hmm. Any type of trade, in any type of lawful business, obviously, whether in the stock market, or in a shop, or a store, or in a hospital, transportation, technology, so any trade of goods. In the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 267 of Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ. Spend of the lawful earning of yours. So our earning is zakatable too. And the fourth category is grains and fruits. Grains, barley, wheat, and we'll talk about whether corn is included or not when we come to talk about agriculture, and what kind of plants, fruits, and vegetations is zakatable. And with regards to the fruits, only at-tamr wa-zabib, dates, mm-hmm. and raisin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in verse number 267. That is the same previous verse we spoke about. وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Mm-hmm. So he said initially, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And what we produce for you from the earth. And he also said, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. And the zakah is due on the produce or the crops on the day of cultivating or collecting or harvesting the produce or the crops. Then the fifth category is treasures, mm-hmm. and precious minerals. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْخُمْسِ. A rikaz is the treasures which have been buried in Jahiliyyah, from the time of Jahiliyyah. You would ask me, what about if somebody found a treasure and it is from our current time in a Muslim state? So that's not a treasure, rather that's a luqata. It belonged to somebody, so we must declare it and find exactly who is the owner and pay it back to him. That's an amana. But we're talking about al-kanz or al-rikaz, what's buried underground from ancient times of al-jahiliyyah, and that's easy to recognize. Whatever people find now, they may find a jar or they find a pot full of gold from ancient times. So that too has a zakah on it, and the zakah rate differs from a category to another, as we will be discussing in details, inshallah.
So now you've given us like the types of wealth, shall I use the word the kind of wealth? Something that came up on this, and the reason I was smiling is that this is something which is very, new to our societies, especially, say, in the West, even in the Arab world and the Muslim world, is the new types of wealth. For example, stocks and shares and assets and bonds. So this is one of the reasons why we're speaking about this topic.
Any contemporary wealth will fit under one of those five categories. And if it doesn't fit, then it's not zakatable. For instance, honey. Mm-hmm. Honey is not zakatable. Okay? Mm-hmm. But there is another way to calculate the zakah on anything that's not zakatable if it is used for trade. Mm-hmm. So that's an investment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nowadays we have the stock market. You buy shares.
Yeah.
You don't really have money in your hand. Mm-hmm. You have CDs.
Yeah.
Things of this nature. But this is money. How do you pay its zakah? Well, on the day of paying your zakah, you call them up or you log on and you see how much each share that you possess, whether increase or decrease or what do you call it, a black day or a good day. So you calculate, you estimate approximately how much you own mm-hmm. on the day, the retail sale.
Jazakallah khair.
And you pay the zakah based on that.
You've explained some of the things. I think today's what we call a good day. Jazakallah khair for being with us.
Every day is a good day.
Good day.
Alhamdulillah.
Barakallah feekum. There you are. Some more explanations to this very important topic about zakah. Please stay with me and join me next time on this, the fiqh of zakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed.